Oh yeah, just Kyle. Okay. Let's see.
He's probably gathering his pipe, weed, and beverage.
Nice. All right, Rex, how you doing?
Florida man's at work, Rex?
I would actually say that life away from work is more challenging at the moment, mostly in petty annoyances versus anything to truly be unhappy with. So,
yeah,
you know, and if I start, Ty's not going to get anything done tonight because it'll probably take me an hour to.
Well, you go ahead for a little bit while I text Kyle.
Well, let me just say, I'm going to be glad when the college semester starts. So be home alone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's understandable. So, I'm not going to fully accept Ty's invitation to rant, but.
Please do.
One of the things that's gnawing at me is I can just see the wave at work of stuff not getting done now, building and building.
And the chickens are going to come home to roost soon?
Well, here's my fear. They're going to come home to roost in October.
And so then
I will have a very serious personal ethics question about where my vacation ranks in comparison to my commitment to my job and getting us moving forward again. So I mean, we're not going to go too deep because we're recording, but
I think I understand what you're saying.
So. Although I'm not sure by October we're going to be in any better shape than we are now, so who knows?
Well, we don't know. I'm trying to deal with a hotel right now who has dropped their rates, their published rates, significantly from what is in the contract, and I'm not happy about this.
And right.
People have said, why are we paying this when we can get this?
Mm-hmm. So, right.
I haven't made my reservation yet, so...
Well,
should I just get a regular room outside of the block of rooms for cheaper? Is that, that's what it sounds like, right?
Well, then, if I don't make my room block rate, if I don't get enough people who reserve rooms in the block, then I have to pay extra. So, of which, as it stands, because of we expanded the room, it's more expensive than it was last year. And maybe not as many people are going to attend, so I'm not happy.
So their position is this is the negotiated rate, and you know.
Well, I haven't heard back from them because they're on quarter staff, so
yeah,
it's like pulling teeth to get anyone to respond. This is not the first time I've had to deal with them, and
yeah,
so no. Before I canceled the Kansas City deal, John, the hotel tried telling me this was their busy time. So the rate had to go up. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Not this year, my friend. Right.
Yeah. I know this is not the case because my neighbor across the street works for the same hotel chain and he tells me stuff on the inside. So
not nice.
Yeah.
So. Well,
hotels is not a good business to be in, right?
No, it's not.
I mean, and there's, I mean, does anybody know? Nobody's going to know anything until, you know, a week before. I mean, we're trying to take a vacation to Gettysburg in end of September, and it's like, yeah, I've scheduled everything, but I mean, I'm not going to know whether we can really go or not until right before we leave, basically. That's just the way, who knows what, you know, local shutdowns could happen, who knows. So it's just,
this year
is just a whole total grain of salt right now.
I got a kid that's moving into college for the first time, and it's she doesn't even have a dorm theory, room yet. So, and that's at the end of August. So, and I got another one who's got to move across town, and she's 3 days where she is homeless in another college. So, I have a hotel room for her, and I had to help her. It's fun times.
Well, at least we've got each other.
I was going to say, we've got like the Debbie Downer episode.
Although it has been the busiest AAC Cabal season ever.
Yeah, nonstop.
More stuff going on right now for the guild than any other time.
Because you don't have a social life other than this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't have one anyway, deep. But. This is not right. A change.
I'm going to go get one more beer and then I'll be right back.
All right, cool. All right, so who is not logged? Rex is logging in. Okay, cool.
Am I logging in?
Oh, I don't know. You're not logged in, so it's on roll 20. So if you are, then I assume that you were going to join us.
I am. I was... dealing with something else quickly.
Yeah, no worries, no hurry. Kind of just doing some housekeeping. Who
remembers a picture of Ty in a French maid outfit now? I'm not sure how that's gonna work, but there you go.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
You said housekeeping.
Oh yeah. Okay. Took me a second. So who can pick us up? What happened second session in Mirkwood?
I was going to try and recap it read through the notes from the Google Doc, and there is no Google Doc for the last session.
I noticed that.
So, I can't remember what actually happened. I remember fighting spiders. And that was mostly it. Oh, I hunted pheasants, and Larry killed some pheasants. I know that, too.
Yeah, I'll jump over to the travel section, and you're heading along the elf path, right? And with Belgo and Baldur.
I know what happened, not through direct personal experience, but I can take a shot at a recap.
Sure, whatever you like.
So we were given very specific instructions to stay on the path. Under no circumstance should we go off the path. I think there was also some discussion about not drinking the water from the stream. And I mean the player characters, did a fantastic job on that point. You, as the GM, did not do a good job because one of your NPCs, the dad, and I always get Belgo, and which one is which out of Belgo and Baldur?
Baldur is the father.
Baldur did not listen to those instructions, which is odd because he allegedly trades with the elves all the time and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
Discontinuity aside, he violates the rules, he drinks the water, and he freaks out and he runs off into the woods. And almost the entire party runs off after him until someone wisely says, you know, there's a kid here. All our stuff, our ponies. If we all go, we're just begging the GM to take our stuff while everyone's chasing off through the woods. So the wise character stayed behind and all the would-be heroes ran off in the woods and... They now are claiming some epic battle with spiders, and it was really close. They could have died, and blah, 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 blah. So I just think they're covering for their embarrassment at running off like little school children at the first sign of adventure. So that's pretty much basically what happened.
That's the Buren side of the story. I don't know, Matt.
Your rebuttal?
In the role of Bird, do you remember where you guys found Baldur?
Oh yeah, Baldur was in a it was like a old fort that had been infested by spiders, and he was in like a web sack. And I believe we sent Bingo out to try and get him down.
That's right. Yep.
And we quickly got overwhelmed, and everyone said, "All right, let's run away." And then they got away, except for Bird. But fortunately, Chlamydius was there to save Bird's hide. And then we ran away into the woods. Oh no! Sorry, Chlamydius didn't save Bird. I'm sorry, a naked little dancing man saved Bird.
Yeah.
I'll take the credit.
I almost completely forgot.
Chlamydius, naked, scrawny man in Mirkwood. Hard to tell.
Right.
Chlamydius is known to have been naked in the forest before.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so that's generally it. I think the last kind of bit of information is, as the journey continued and you guys were kind of licking your wounds and making your way, you noticed kind of an emotional wedge that was growing between Baldur and Belgo. The boy was becoming less and less trustful of his father, questioning his actions.
He's becoming a man.
Getting down on his father, who's a little bit of a... Baldur's a little bit of a... I don't know. Doofus.
Like some fathers are.
Sure, there's a father-son thing going on there. So, all right. Well done on the recap. All right, so... I should have pointed it out. So, kind of distance-wise, I think I've mentioned that you're looking like a little bit more than 3 weeks to get through the elf path. And you're about a third of the way through. So if you see this yellow line that I've drawn across the elf path, that's about the distance that you've gone so far. All right. Session objective. What do you guys think you can accomplish this? Probably have another a little bit more than 2 weeks ahead of you. At least, if everything goes well.
Keep Baldur from drinking any more of the stream water.
Yeah, that's
yeah, enforce the no drinking rule. Make it to the forest gate, I think. That's where we're headed, right?
Yeah. All right.
Make sure the ponies are kept safe.
Yeah, some of us are very concerned about that.
Yeah, make it to the other side if we can.
Yep. There's not much point in getting to the forest gate without the goods.
It's true. You should always hang back and guard them.
Yeah, what did I say? 3 points of treasure? Ooh. Each? Yeah. I forget what I said. All right. Continue on to the forest gate. Continue the journey. Protect Baldur. Belgo. Seems pretty straightforward. All right, replenishment fellowship pool. So we've got 7 points as usual, 7 points of fellowship that you can use to get your hope back. And all right, so back here on the journey. So you're in Mirkwood along the elven path. The journey is continuing to wear on you. I need you guys to make some fatigue tests.
Uh-oh.
And Chlamydius, you might remember that you've got a couple bonus dice that may come in handy. I've replaced the gold circles with gold dice to represent your
success. So
as a reminder, is that a success die is an extra die to roll if you need to, or Chlamydius, you can give them out.
All right, who is what are we rolling on for that? Refresh my memory, please.
Yeah, so we're going to do a fatigue test, and you're going to roll against something amazing. Is it just travel? I think it's just travel. Yeah, so you're going to roll against travel. Target of... Target of 16.
Okay.
And your attribute bonus would be heart. So you could spend heart, excuse me, you could spend hope to add your heart bonus if need be. Okay. Or you could.
So I'm going to have to do that.
Additional rolls. Yeah.
So I'll spend a hope point and pass my roll.
Okay.
So what do we have to beat? A 14?
16. 16 in this case. You are in the wildlands. The wildlands.
Did we gain any hope points back between sessions?
I think you got one back for your fellowship focus, but okay. I think we did cover that off.
So we've
okay,
already.
So I was at 10. I'm down to 9 hope then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to roll.
Oh, bird.
Our target number 16.
Bird, bird, bird. Oh, you actually have to make 2 fatigue rolls, by the way, not just 1. All right, so I see bird, not good.
No. Yeah.
Carl, looks like, was that pretty far from you?
Yeah.
Oh, Carl,
yeah.
Carl can
I don't
pass?
Think
okay.
Any of us are doing very good, so.
We have to do it again.
Ugh. Carl spent hope, and I'm going to spend another hope to pass the second roll.
I should probably actually catch up with you guys and roll. Sorry about that.
I, too, will spend hope to pass my second, but I failed my first.
Okay.
So I had to spend on each one to pass, but I did pass both.
Travel.
Yeah, I didn't come close to either one, so this is not
good. Ty, you said target number 16 for both of the travels?
16.
Correct. Oh, Carl.
No bueno. Stuck to that one. So I passed my first.
Yeah.
And let's see if that's the second.
Damn.
Boom. And I got a little ringworm.
Holy shit. Got a pip for your, if you get a second pip there, right?
Yeah.
So I actually already have 2 pips in movement. So can I fill the third with that?
You need to work in a trait if you want the third pip.
And you mean specialties by traits? Is that
right?
Yeah, traits are there's two types of traits, and I forget the names of them. It's
specialties and distinctive features.
Right, distinctive features. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have tunneling, so what I actually figured out is it was less burdensome to dig under and stay out of the weather.
I think you also have far reach.
My way. Through that energetically, and because I'm hardened, it didn't bother me to dig through all the rock and dirt.
That's very samurai-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a vote by the company.
Bird wanders off into the woods without saying a word, looking for a tavern.
He needs 3 votes, guys, to get this.
It's a pretty weak connection. Oh,
the fellowship is breaking.
Fine. I do not have a good faith argument for any of my traits right now. So.
Yeah.
Mostly having fun.
Yeah, no. You're samurai in it. That's cool. there'll probably come a time when I would want you to kind of proactively be aware that you're going for that third and maybe come up with the story. But we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So Rex Buren passed both of his.
Mm-hmm.
So if you failed for each fatigue test that you failed, you're going to increase your fatigue by 2. So if you fail twice, it's +4.
Okay. Wow.
Bird's going to strip out of her mail shirt.
Yeah, and this is the time if you're going to be, if you remember, if your fatigue is higher than your endurance, and I think most everybody's endurance is just about maxed out, then you're going to be weary, and that's bad news.
No, I'm not close to weary.
Yep, I've got a few points.
Oh,
still go.
I mean, are you fine with that? I understand it's a little ridiculous, but she's going to take her armor off.
Okay.
or I'm not going to do well if we. I have 6 travel fatigue and 18 encumbrance fatigue, so I'm struggling.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Well,
yeah. Okay.
It's tough. All right, and looks like I think we lost Carl. We'll see if he comes back. All right, everybody got that right?
Yep.
All right.
Carl did say BRB on the roll 20.
He did. Okay. Cool. So we did pick up a couple of ISRons. It looks like Carl rolled one and Bird rolled one. Or no, Bird.
I did.
Oh, you got a Gandalf and an ISRon. Okay. So we're going to pick up 2 hazards. We're going to check out a couple of them. Where are my dice? Got this. Here we go. That's not going to do me any good. All right, let's look at Bird. Bird and Fesco, you are scouting out ahead and making your way along the Elven Path. Let's take a look at the amazing thing. Scout.
So how many days is that 2 rolls count for?
This is kind of like the next third of the second, okay. Like a week.
Okay. Well, I have a virtue that's going to allow me to recover a number of endurance points equal to my wisdom. So can I go ahead and just retroactively recover some of these endurance
points? Tell me about this.
So it's Elvish Dreams. I've learned to recover from my exertions while engaging in a repetitive task, like walking or rowing or boat. At the end of a day of activity, I recover a number of endurance points equal to my wisdom rank.
Okay. Sounds reasonable. Although your endurance is maxed out right now at 24.
Yes, that's correct.
So there's nothing to get back.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, right, it's not regaining. You're not dropping fatigue points. You're not gaining endurance points.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Gotcha. All right.
Bird, give me an explore roll versus versus a 14.
I'll spend a hope or
can we give him a early fellowship?
Yeah, we'll give you a fellowship.
Can we give him a fellowship point?
Spend that. And yep. Got a Tangor, so I'll take my second pip. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll give it to you. How about Bird, Matt? You tell me about the first part of the journey. The weather has been rough. You've been able to follow the path, but it kind of trails off. But you're an excellent scout. Why don't you let us know how you keep everybody on the right path?
Yeah. So some dark storm clouds roll over the sky, and with the canopy overhead. Becomes dark and eerie in the forest. But Bird and Fesco continue to press on further and further. Bird may be relying more on Fesco in this low light than she normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's treacherous for a while, but eventually the storm breaks maybe, and a little light begins to shine through. And Bird crouches down to Fesco and rubs up behind there and says, "Who's a good boy?"
Fair enough. Nicely done. Save the party a little bit of a diversion there. And how about I need everybody to make a corruption test.
Corruption test.
Okay. Yeah, which is against wisdom.
So I reduce my corruption by 2 levels. So that's a TN minus 4. So okay. What do I alter the number to there?
Is yeah, sorry. 10? I'll 14, so make it to 10. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, I should remember that I have King Cup and we can avoid some of this.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Is that that's for your travel rolls, right?
I've got 2, right? I've got King Cup, which is travel, and I've got to look up what White Water Lily does, but... We can avoid hazards.
Remind me how we make a corruption test. What are we rolling?
Drop a wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay.
Yeah, wisdom. There's a little button next to the wisdom score.
Oh.
Not so good, people.
Does that automatically fail even if I pass 10? With the Eye of Sauron?
It passes. It still passes. Okay. It counts as a zero in this case. But okay. You got 11 otherwise. Let's see. Who do we got? Who am I missing?
We got Rex. Carl needs to roll.
He's he said he had to step away.
Okay. He's
back. Maybe to go again?
No, he went away again.
Yeah.
And we've got
unless you want one of us to roll for him. I don't know how we do it, what his wisdom is. Or if you can do it, Ty.
I think I can do it, yeah. How about you, Rex?
I'm sorry, I must have missed another call. I made both of my travel rolls.
Yeah, so did what you do a corruption test?
Against wisdom.
Why do I have to roll corruption when I passed? What game is this?
All right. Guys, sometimes the
incompetence of other party members
takes on a life of its own.
Wow.
Okay.
Mr. Happiness over there.
PN14.
When you try and tunnel through the Mirkwood, it fights back.
And of course.
Yes, it's incompetence at work.
Yeah. And Rex, if Buren wants to, he can do a heart attribute. If he's got, if that gets him up to 14.
Does not.
All right. So I did it for you. You passed.
You're welcome.
Although I didn't catch. Did you pass your travel rolls? How did you? No pass. Okay. No matter. Okay, you failed. So take on a add two endurance points if you haven't already. All right. So who failed the corruption test?
I did. Bird.
Bird.
And Buren did.
All right. Ooh, okay. Got to make note of this. The fatigue level, the target number is going up for the next level fatigue, so it'll be 18 next time.
Damn.
All right, so you guys continue the journey along.
I'm sorry, Ty, how much shadow did I take from that failed corruption?
None. A little bit of a different corruption test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it influences your future journey.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like it's raining.
What is that? Oh, that is some heavy rain.
Yeah, that's pretty loud.
Sounds quite pleasant, actually.
Yeah, you can control your own volume within Discord if you need to.
Although it's tough for Larry to smoke in this kind of game.
Yeah. So suddenly a storm has descended upon Mirkwood, and the forest turns dark as midnight. And it's a couple days since the spider incident. And at this point, high winds are tearing through the treetops. And a hail of leaves and twigs are descending upon the company, pelting you left and right into your heads. And yes, Larry, you can't even light your pipe. These are large, huge drops of rain that are either coming down directly and are heavy enough to break through the foliage, or they're gathering on these giant leaves and dripping down your neck. And of course, the path is super muddy And you hear the creak of branches and the thunder and lightning is crashing overhead, outlining each of you as you're going along the path. You come across dozens of small streams, and it's getting late, and it's late in the year, and it's cold, and you can't help but feel like you need to get a shelter for the night. Up ahead, it is so dark that just off of the path, near the path, you guys make out a reddish-yellow glow. Perhaps a minute down the path, a minute ahead, and you catch the outline of a structure when the lightning breaks, or lightning goes off. So, and you see the outline of this old dead stump. It's a hollow tree that's illuminated by a bright flash of lightning. And bingo, you see a thin plume of wood smoke rising from the top. So the glow is this reddish yellow glow is probably a fire from within within the stump, within the tree, the hollow tree. What would you like to do? Mm-hmm. All right, guys, what are you up for it?
Yeah, now that I can hear.
I don't know why the default volume for Fred Boat is like maxed out, but
deafening.
The lightning is deafening.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you approach, and it seems that the tree is some sort of residence, some sort of abode for somebody. And you search around the base of the tree, and you find a small tunnel that runs between the roots and leads into the tree's interior.
Tunnelers. So what who's leading into the interior? We have hobbits and dwarves. Should they not lead on?
Dwarves are kind of stocky and...
I can. Yes. I think Larry can wait with the horses this time. That way, that way Buren can be sure to enjoy the more adventurous...
I'm fine with that. I'm completely fine with that.
Father, Father, I'm cold and tired. Can't we take a break?
Buren will go with Bingo. Mm-hmm. He'll make sure Larry understands to take care of the child this time.
Larry doesn't want Buren to miss out on the adventure this time, so
happy to go.
Yeah. Okay. You make your way inside, and the tree is in fact hollow inside. And the entrance beneath the roots open up into a single round room. The walls are the dead wood of the tree, and the roof is a mix of bark and thatch that barely keeps out the wind and the rain. It's not certainly as luxurious as a hobbit hole, but it's certainly better than being outside in Mirkwood in the storm. And it's clear that there's nobody else in here. There's no people. Yeah.
That's,
It is. Yeah, okay.
Doesn't seem very heroic to stay hiding in this, albeit dry, hollowed out trunk. Does there appear to be any markings that would suggest that people?
Oh yes.
Go inside this thing.
Well, yes. In fact, you also see a ring of stones in the middle of the room, where a small cooking fire is burning, with some hunks of meat cooking on a spit.
I look around to make sure there are no large stuffed gorillas anywhere in the tree trunk.
Always got to double check, man, because you never know.
If you don't ask the GM.
That's right. They'll just attack you. No warning.
No gorillas. There are other unidentifiable bits of meat hanging from the ceiling on long black strings. Bjorn, you also observe what appears to be a single bed of leaves and furs near the fire. There's jars of water and baskets of actually pretty good-looking fruit in a cool, muddy hollow at the back of the room.
I'm going to suggest to Bingo that this appears to be someone's home. And they've done us no wrong, so it's probably not appropriate for us to trespass in their home, and suggest that we politely step back out.
Okay. Bird, where are you at this time?
Bird's, she figures the party has this tree stump under wraps, so maybe a few paces out away from Larry and the our companions, so she's just keeping watch.
Okay. Bjorn, before you leave, give me a search roll.
I will give you a search roll, Bjorn. Do I have a target number?
14, please. As you are doing your investigation, you see that the walls near the bed are covered in wood carvings, or carving directly into the tree wall, so to speak, that depict horrible faces and monsters of all sorts. You believe that whoever lives here is tormented by nightmares.
Do I recognize any of these images? I mean, are they quote unquote like well known images, you know, commonly shared? Are they particular to a particular culture, or
they're pretty primitive? I mean, they're almost childlike.
Okay.
But as you take a closer look, and you're kind of like standing on the bed that is really just a pile of furs and leaves on the floor, your foot strikes something hard and probably metal under one of the furs.
Well, since I already kicked it, I should probably check and make sure I didn't damage it, because I might need to make restitution to the homeowner. So
yeah, no chance of damaging this. This is a shard of metal. It looks to be perhaps a broken axe head. Like there's no handle, and it's not an entire axe head. It's a somehow broken, perhaps used to be a double-headed axe head. But a quarter of it's gone.
Anything about the materials or the manner in which it's crafted that is of significance or stands out to me?
You see some writing on it. It appears to be of built by men, made by men,
okay.
men craftsmen, and the the language is unfamiliar to you, or the runes or the letters are unfamiliar, but they are, they appear to be of men.
Well, I leave it where it is a line, because again, I'm not sure what value there would be in taking it other than offending the sensibilities of whoever lives there. So, so unless there's something else that my search uncovered, I'm going to get Bingo and step back out and return to the group and share with them what I have found.
Okay. What are you going to tell them?
That tree actually appears to be someone's home. It looks like someone who's living a very primitive lifestyle. There was a fire, so I suspect that they are close at hand. Perhaps they are aware of our presence. And
oh my gosh. What is that smell? Baldur? And all of a sudden, you guys, as Bjorn is explaining what he's found with Bingo, an incredibly rank smell wafts down from the path, from basically the direction that you came from. And a bolt of lightning illuminates just briefly the path in that direction. And you just make out a figure in a dark cloak approaching you. And he's kind of he's slowly making its way, his way to you.
Humanoid? Large human? Small human?
Humanoid. Somewhat small. A small human-sized creature.
Hobbit size? Smeagol sized?
Not that small. Not Bingo. Bigger than Bingo. Smaller than Larry and Bird. Bigger than Bingo.
So Buren sized?
What was that, please?
So Buren sized?
No, we'll see.
If you permit this, Bird would like to use her elusive abilities and just general woodsmanness and try to slip behind this thing, and maybe as soon as it gets close to the party, just kind of grab it. Maybe with her axe in one hand.
Okay. Give me, what do you got? You got a trait of some sort?
Yeah, so Bird's elusive, so elusive. She can, when she chooses not to be seen, she can be evasive as a fish in muddy waters.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. So normally what we want to do is, if you're going to call for a roll like that, like if you're going to call for it, we want you to, or call for a trait, we want you to roll for it. So hunting.
So maybe, hunting, I was going to say maybe hunting.
Yeah, hunting is kind of the, in addition to hunting, it's also the kind of stealthy kind of equivalent. Would you give me a hunting roll against 14?
Okay.
All right, how we do?
I passed, and I guess I invoked the trait for the roll, so I probably can't invoke the trait for the third point.
That's a good question. See, that's
I mean, it's almost, isn't that almost a, like, you've definitely invoked the trait because you used it for the actual roll?
Yeah, like, let's go ahead and do it. Yeah, go ahead and
there
take
wasn't
that.
A, you know, whatever you call it, ex post facto use of the trait. It was already there.
So the, yeah, so this figure is approaching, and Bird and Fesco, what's your take on this? What are you up to?
So as he passes by where Bird's hiding, she kind of spins around and grabs him and plants her axe against his back, and then Fesco kind of leaps out of the woods.
Okay.
And yeah, she says, reveal yourself.
The smell is definitely super strong, and at this distance, it is perhaps the strongest body odor that you've ever smelled. Who are they? Who are they? What do they want? Why did they have me? Who is this? And this thing tries to struggle, and you feel the bony shoulder area, and the limbs are very thin and wasted away. And you've got this thing kind of in your grasp from behind. So, well, what is it? Who has it? Who has me? I struggle.
Yeah, someone with a nose. Does he have like a hood on?
Yeah.
And I'll reach for the hood to try to pull it back to get a look at this guy.
Okay. Yeah, and you reveal the head of. This old, balding, scraggly-haired wild man. And even in the darkness, Bird, you make him out to be the strange naked figure from the battle with the spiders. And as he's struggling, a spear that he was carrying drops, like he loses his grasp on it. He was armed.
Okay, she'll let him go, and maybe like Fesco fetches the spear or something. I'm sorry, sir. I owe you a great many thanks.
No, they're thanking us. What do they want, though? They must want something. They must want something. They always want something. I have nothing.
I assure you have nothing that we need. I am Bird. This is Fesco. And this is my merry band of travelers. We were just passing by.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You look familiar. Hey, I saw them. The spiders. Yes, yes. Coming back. Back to me.
Perhaps we could wait out the storm here with you.
I knew it. I told you. I told you they wanted something. I knew you told me they wanted something. I knew that. You didn't have to tell me that. I knew that they wanted something.
Perhaps we can barter for it?
Things. Ponies. Bags. Perhaps they have something. What to ask for? I am hungry. I am hungry. I will tell them I am hungry, and they will give me food. Yes, yes, brilliant. I will. Yes.
Sing the quiet part loud.
Yes. kind lady. Do you have perhaps a delicacy of? No, that word. Other words. I would like some food, if you were to have some, please. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. They're thinking about it. I see them thinking.
Bird nods at Larry, who's, I think, over by the Bogo and Baldor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he looks over in their direction. Ah, your friend, yes. Your friends.
Larry looks to see what we have in the bags. In the way of food.
Please be pheasant.
As it happens, we have some leftover pheasant.
Yes! Oh, delicious pheasant.
What a convenience that Larry killed so many pheasants that we couldn't eat them all.
Be calm. Do not scare them. They will give. That will do.
It's wrapped in foil, kind of looks like a swan with a little head.
And he tries to play it really cool. He's like nonchalantly kind of scutters through the mud, like, yeah, this is no big deal. Yeah, I see. You have
grudgingly accepts our pheasants.
I suppose this will do. And he tears into it and starts devouring it, gobbling it down. Thank you. Ah, yes. We have a deal. Follow me. Into the tree! And he starts to make his way into the tree.
I still forgot he was already cooking some meat in the tree.
Yeah. Memory's not the best. Pheasant is better.
Yeah, then rat or squirrel or whatever it is, it's probably cooking over the.
And you know, with the five of you plus Belgo and Baldur, you know, it's in him. It's pretty tight, but you know,
well, might have Belgo stay outside of the ponies because somebody has to keep the ponies in order, right?
Father, I'm tired.
Well, this builds character. That's what my dad always told me.
So Buren just wants to emphasize that there were some drawings on the wall that suggest whoever resides there is very troubled. And there was a damaged axe head. Not sure how it was damaged. So,
although I think observation
would tell us. Caution if you go in.
Observation would tell us too that he's pretty troubled.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is a perfect chance for Larry to do some charming.
That is true. He is a master of custom.
So he's inside, and who else is going inside? What's
Oh, Larry's definitely going in. He'd like to have a smoke.
Maybe he would go inside.
Bird's hardy. She'll take the pony watch, I guess.
Oh, so Belgo can join us inside.
Yeah, sure. She's not going to let that kid. She's taking a little fondness to the kid, even though it's kind of annoying.
Larry will offer the stranger a smoke, since he has an extra pipe now that he has his new pipe that he's smoking. He's got an extra pipe he can offer, perhaps, that would help calm this fidgety gentlemen.
Thank you. Give me a courtesy roll. Target 12.
Everybody or just?
I'm sorry. Just Larry. Just generous Larry.
Wow.
So Larry rolls a 19. I hate to do it like after the fact again, but I could get a third pip here if I work my smoking trait into this. Perhaps Larry realizes that when this guy's eyes light up at the mention of smoking, he gives him his pipe, but then says, "Oh, but I've got something special here," and hands even more. If you take a drag from the pipe of the prancing pony. And so he lets this guy take a drag from his pipe with his special East Farthing leaf. The good stuff. Not his, you know, stems and seeds that he has for guests.
I knew they were friendly. I know you told me they were friendly.
Here's the question. Does that get me my third pit? That's to the party.
Up to the party, yeah.
Yes.
Bert says it smells good in there.
Smells better than the VO.
And
yeah.
this old crazy man, he grabs the pipe kind of at the end by like two hands, and he I imagine it's like a long pipe kind of thing, and he kind of shoves it into his mouth and goes, like, just like oversucks on it. And I've got this vision of like, I don't know, Scooby-Doo eyes with the spirals in them. this will help. This will help with what I see at night. Now, don't tell them about that. Why don't I tell them? I'm not telling them about anything. I'm telling you that it will help me at night.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Sleep like a babe tonight.
This is good. Yes. Well, welcome to my home. We can wait out the storm here. It is quite dark, wouldn't you say? Yes. There. I found the pheasant quite delicious.
We gave him some leftover pheasant, and then he had something. There's something cooking over the fire, probably not as good as the pheasant. But
you know, you might. There's really no bread around. Maybe you guys got some. I don't know. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. Yeah. Yeah. Still hungry. Here. And he kind of walked over to the spit where there was some meat on a rotisserie kind of thing. And it, at closer examination, it looks to be rodent like. So certainly not good as pheasant. But please, I share with you as well. He kind of leans over to Bingo and puts this roasted rat in front of his face.
I just think of the bat eating scene in Three Amigos, where they're just biting into the crispy wings of these bats.
So. And he reaches up on the strings where the other meat is hanging and pulls something down. And it, closer examine, it appears to be like dried, almost jerky-like meat. And he like pulls into it. So, tell me, journeyers, what brings you through the dark forest of Mirkwood?
Trade.
They do business. I know that. I know they do business. I can understand what he's saying. Oh, well, I'm just making sure you know. Trade. This is a dangerous way to go for trade.
Sometimes there are rewards for enduring some danger.
Could be. But you must understand, there is darkness in the wood. A great shadow.
Like the spiders?
Yes. The spiders had been driven away by the light in the day. But the darkness is growing again, and the spiders are but just a symptom of a greater darkness.
How? What could be worse than those?
I don't know, but I see it. It creeps up on me in my sleep. That's why I hide in this tree. And why I stay away from men, although I'm pleased to have your pleasant company.
Well, this space feels safe enough.
Ah, well, you may be safe for now, but I've seen how the shadow crawls into the heart of men and turns them into beasts. No, not the beast. Yes, the beast. I've not said the beast at all.
You've seen these beasts?
You little bearded one. I recognize you. You are a servant of the shadow. Him, he is a servant of the shadow.
I knew it!
What was that?
Bird yelled from outside. I knew it!
Yes, you see, the shadow can be in men, or in beasts, or in tattered rags, and he kind of pulls on his cloak. You kind of get the impression that he's probably almost certainly naked under this sopping wet cloak. Or in things. And he kind of goes over to his bed. Take it. And he goes to Larry, and he holds up this metal piece of an axe head.
Where did you get this?
The shadow. The shadow lives in it. The shadow lives in things. It is better to have nothing of value. Give it all away. Give it to them.
But, surely we wouldn't want to take something that's corrupted in such a way.
But you are strong. You are strong.
Larry will hesitantly reach out and take the axe.
Thank you. Do you have any more of the pipe?
So he's had his own pipe this whole time. So because Larry gave him his own pipe to smoke, let him take a drag off the pipe, off the fancy pipe. But he's also got his own, Larry's old pipe that he can use.
And what am I looking? So, that might be Carl's ceiling. Carl, you might have turned on your camera, which is fine. But, thank you. Yes, take. Yeah. No worries. So let's see here. How about everybody who's inside? So I guess it's everybody but Burr. Give me
Buren
a...
did not go inside.
Oh, you didn't go inside Buren?
Oh. Yeah. Maybe I was mistaken.
So who's outside?
I guess Bird and Burren is what it sounds like.
Yep.
All right. So Larry, Chlamydius, and Bingo.
Yep.
Give me a craft or lore roll against a 14.
I'll take the lore.
Your choice.
Take that.
My craft roll will be better, even though I do have a bonus with my maps. I've got a plus one to lore rolls, but I've got two pips for my craft roll. So
can I use a Mirkwood lore speciality to kind of tangle this up to get my third pip?
If you can go that route, it doesn't help you in this case.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Because Chlamydius,
yeah,
you recognize the metal as a shard from the famous axe called Wolfbiter.
Wolfbiter.
Wolfbiter. And you know at least enough to tell you that it is an heirloom of the woodman. Which Bird would have recognized immediately if she were inside.
And Larry didn't notice anything weird about the axe, did he?
Well, weird Larry about the axe.
Because, no. But I mean, when... It's just that there was the crazy guy said, oh, stuff could be corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if it gave Larry the willies, when he picked up the axe.
Yeah. So, I guess, first of all, it's not an entire axe. It's just like a broken axe head. It could be just the ravings of a crazy person.
Okay.
And he was really speaking that the shadow could be in anywhere. And he did say that he thought it might be in the axe head.
Right.
Take it. I don't want anything.
Larry's a little spooked
by it, so that's why he sort of hesitantly took the axe head, as though, you know, it was going to be like he was going to pick it up and suddenly have nightmares, you know,
visions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
mm-hmm. I guess Comedius is going to ask him about, you know, where did you come across this, good sir?
Larry's going to hand it to Comedius.
Yeah,
since Comedius seems to make a sign of like, or, you know, like recognition.
He wants to know. Should we tell him? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Oh, fine, I'll tell him. He goes, the years have gone by so long, I no longer know. I do remember that the foul beasts, the orcs, were involved, but in what way, I cannot recall.
So do you mind if we take this and bring this to the woodman who will value this greatly?
Take that, and then he kind of reaches and he kind of gives you the a pelt of furs, and he gives you a wooden spoon, and he gives you a, take this, own, keep nothing, own nothing, shadow is everywhere. Take it.
Well, I don't want to take all your things, good sir. I mean, you need some of this to survive, but I will make sure that the axe head gets to the proper, the people who will respect it.
He takes another big hit off the pipe.
Another hit of fresh air.
Some good shit, isn't it?
Yes, I think I will be sleeping well tonight. Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Maybe your dreams will be less troubled.
Well, the dreams, yes. The carvings on the wall, they alarm me. They scare away my nightmares. He kind of rolls over to his bed, and his kind of bare ass hangs out from under his cloak.
Gives a nice waft towards the party.
He's got these really bony, skinny legs, and he's not much more than a
great waft of clutch once expelled. Yeah.
He goes, make yourself at home in the dry home. You have been good guests.
Larry's going to carefully extricate his pipe from the guy's grasp so they just light his clothes on fire and burn himself to death.
Okay. All right. So he's asleep. What do you guys want to do?
I think we should take turns sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we got Bird and Buren on Pony Watch. The rest of us can spend a pleasant dry night.
All right.
Inside and...
Well, we need to spell
Bird it. Walks in and says, who's up next?
I'll take a spell outside for Bird. So,
you guys find anything cool in here, like an heirloom of my ancestors or anything?
Not your ancestors.
Ty, how many people could we actually fit in this tree? Maybe I'm just misunderstanding the size of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, the picture I have up is probably not... It's about as good as representation I could find, but it's big enough to fit all of you snugly. But you'd all be able to fit in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I think we should probably just take turns.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody outside doing a watch in the rain, and mm-hmm. everybody else trying to stay warm and dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Clematis, just to be clear, Bird is a woodman.
So I can show the axe to Bird when the creature's asleep and say, you should know what this is.
Well, Bird, you look it over?
Wolfbiter.
Oh, yes. Exactly. You recognize it right away. This weapon, or what is left of it, is an heirloom of the people of Woodland Hall, but was lost, the story goes. when one of their chieftain's sons was captured by orcs.
Aha.
You see, Clemenius, this axe was lost.
And now it's found.
Decades ago, let's say.
Well, so Bert's never seen it. She's probably just heard stories of it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe there's a tapestry up in Woodland Hall that tells the story of the sun being captured by orcs.
So it's possible that this is the sun? I'm just suggesting that.
Could be. Huh? It's possible. Sure. I'll put that out there. All right. The night goes by without really any incident. And the sky is clear. Which I am sure.
Yay!
Just like that.
Well, now we need some birds chirping and
exactly.
Leaves rustling.
I didn't think I had enough. All right. So the skies have cleared. The dawn is broken, or at least what passes for it in the depths of Mirkwood, and this hermit is flat on his back, sprawled eagle, arms out, legs stretched out, and he's like.
Definitely the man who saved me.
Yeah, perhaps you see his bow hanging from somewhere in the tree. He's got a bow somewhere, too.
Something's hanging for sure.
Something's hanging for sure. And,
Morning wood.
He all of a sudden, he sits up. Kind of looks around. Hello? Can
Did
I help
peacefully?
You? Oh, yes. Yes, the shadow. Yes, I... yes, you grow the leaf well, lands.
Long-bottom leaf. Best in the South Farthing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, far to the west. Yes, I hear it. I hear it well. All right, and so the remainder of the morning is pretty uneventful, and you make your way, bid adieu, and it's back to the Elven Path. Everybody give me a single fatigue test.
Single fatigue.
Let's see how you did with getting some shelter for the night. What did I say? 16 before?
Whoops.
Yeah.
Keep it at 16, yeah.
I rolled at 14, but...
That's right.
Am I rolling travel?
Yes.
Travel.
Yes.
16.
And yeah, Gandalf passes automatically. If you fail, like you do...
Oh, Kyle! I'm going to use one of my golden dice on me because I'm getting low on here. Okay.
Normally you want to do that beforehand. Like you want.
Yeah, I haven't rolled it yet. I mean,
but you want to say you're going to use.
Yeah, I haven't rolled yet. So.
You haven't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So,
yes. Please do.
So how do I add the extra die on there?
Do I have a button for that? Do I have a button?
I don't know.
Got all these buttons.
Should I just roll my thing, and if I don't pass, then I'll throw an extra die out there?
Yeah. Oh, do you see a button called success die?
At the bottom? Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Okay. Normal, okay. That was my extra, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I got it, so.
You got the Gandalf anyway.
Overkill, okay.
So anybody who failed didn't do all that well overnight in the tree, and you gain one more fatigue point.
Well, I'm gonna
only one. Okay, good.
potentially spend to avoid failing. Has anyone spent out of the fellowship pool?
Just one person has.
Just so one
could,
so far.
You could spend it, Rex.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So that would put us down to...
Five.
Okay. Five left, yep.
Well, you got to spin first, right?
What do you mean?
So, spend a whole point first, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
so
that's right. I'm pulling hope.
You're top top.
So
yeah, so spend one of your own first, yeah.
Yeah, spend a single.
So we still have six. Okay.
Yep.
Right.
I don't know if that matters in retrospect, but yeah, it's the way we've been playing it. Okay. So you guys gather up your gear. The weather is cleared. But you're making your way to the western reaches. It's not quite a week of travel since we started this session. The western reaches of Mirkwood are grim and dangerous. You actually see the remnants of men who have inhabited, remnants not meaning bodies, but like old structures and
ruins.
Toppled over walls of stone, perhaps trees with deep axe cuts in them. But the depths here are very much unwelcoming and very much dark and creepy and mysterious and all that kind of cool stuff. Everybody give me a corruption test.
That's off of?
Off of wisdom.
Wisdom, yep. Okay. Target 14?
Still. Yes, please.
Except for me. Roll against the pit.
There you go.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
All right. If you fail, pick up a point of corruption.
Temporary.
Temporary, correct.
Whew, just made it.
Getting close. I'm at 5 shadow and I only have 7 hoop.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody good to go? All right. That's a good question.
Below your gear.
Towards the bottom, I think, somewhere. Character sheet. Yeah, under your gear. So you've got your weapons, your mount, your gear, and then character states. And there's a temp shadow that you should be tracking.
It's near your endurance.
You see that, Carl? Okay, cool. All right. So if you remember, it is actually, let's see, what do we say, a week later? Yeah, we're getting to late November. And you would normally at this point expect
cold,
a strong fall chill to be in the air for this part of the world. But you are deep in the forest, and it is unusually warm.
Hmm.
You feel the temperature rising as you journey along. And you begin to feel... very hot. And in fact, a sense of sleepiness seems to creep out of the ground and up your legs. Strangely, flies are buzzing around your ears. And in fact, the small streams and tributaries that are running water. That sounds like numerous half-whispered lullabies. Oh, sleep, 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 sleep. Oh, sleep, 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 sleep.
I think we need some coffee, boys.
And just beyond and up ahead, you see... a thing that looks... Have I moved you guys over? Yes, I have. You see... Hole a hole in the ground. And even more so... you see kind of some stones around it. Some they're not natural. It's not natural. It's like not a natural. And you can just make it out perhaps 40 feet ahead. I need everybody to give me another corruption test. This time it's 16.
In the trail?
Was that please?
Is it in the trail, the hole?
Yeah. I mean, think of it kind of on a banked side of the trail. The trail's pretty wide at this point.
Okay.
So it kind of flattens out. Flattens out with the moment, and
Larry squeaks by again.
All right, Larry. Okay, good.
Okay.
Carl, not so good.
I'm going to use
wisdom again.
Yeah, corruption's tests are against wisdom.
Can I use a fellowship point since I've already used a hope point to pass this, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, because I'm 101. Oh, now again, it pass, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Probably because of my tunneling, I was able to understand what that hole might be.
That makes
it
more
sense than the other.
It was one. Against the 16, though, wasn't it, Rex? But yeah. I think the Sora or Gandalf makes him pass.
The Gandalf automatically
passed. Oh, yeah. I thought you said 14. Okay.
No, but you still pass, Rex, because of the Gandalf symbol.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the tunneling argument here makes a lot more sense.
It does. But
this doesn't actually give me a pip on anything, because it's correct. Just a wisdom test, so...
Yeah.
So, by my count, how many of you? Two of you failed?
Yeah, Carl and I, it looks like.
Okay. So, those of you that failed, including Baldur and Belgo, decide that this is a good time to take... good time to stop for a midday break.
Yep, good night, boys.
Right by this ominous-looking hole.
Come on, boys. Keep moving. Nothing to see here.
I have to admit, some of these scenarios are written really... I don't know. But anyway. So, yeah, Bird. Let's see here. Bird, what? Let me look at your character sheet for a second here. What's your deal? What are you about? Who are you? Where is your character sheet? There it is. So, Bird, you sit down and you decide to take a break, and perhaps you're chatting up Belgo for a little bit, and a thought comes over you. That if only you could prove yourself to the party, to the fellowship, to the company, they would recognize you for the leader that you are.
Hmm.
There's something of importance nearby. Is the thought that you have. If only you could find it.
Hmm.
If only you could figure out where it was. And Carl, bingo. Bingo, yes. Bam. You can almost smell it in the air, Bingo. Gold. Gold is nearby. I can smell it. It'll make you rich.
Maybe we peer in the hole and together at the same time from opposite sides.
It must It must be in the hole. It must be in the hole. Mustn't it, Bingo, you think? Where else could it possibly be?
So when we see these guys going for the hole, is there any way we can restrain them?
I don't know. Would you like to try?
Yeah, I would like to try. I don't think going in the hole is a good idea.
No, Arminius, this is for the party. This is good.
Do the rest of us get a bad feeling from the hole?
Yeah. Let's call it the hole the rest of the night, just like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of saying this out loud, but, you know, Bird and Bingo, these are thoughts in your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the party isn't necessarily, you know, they're taking, I don't know, having a snack or something.
Going for the hole, it's like, no, this is not a good idea. Come on. We're trying to restrain that. I would try to restrain them.
Get away from that hole!
Yeah.
Bird will say something like, no, this is good. This is for the party.
No.
This will help us.
Bad idea. I think, gentlemen, we need to keep these guys from going into the hole. Can I get some help from the people who passed their test?
Larry's going to come over. Look, that hole is... That's not a good hole. That's scary looking. I get a bad feeling about that hole.
Yeah.
So the rest of us get a bad feeling about that hole, and I think we're the ones that would know that. Yeah, there's something I don't know. There's something going on here that's not good.
It's time to keep moving away from the hole.
I bet you would trust me if I went in the hole.
No.
This is an exit hole, not an entry hole.
Bert says she's a good Catholic girl.
So Buren's going to take a slightly different approach with Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's going to kind of play into a little bit, you know, that could be right. But let me tell you from my experience, before you go in a hole like that, you have to have a plan. So let's sit down. Come up with a plan to make sure that we get back out with as much gold as possible. Kind of, you know, trying to keep Bingo engaged with that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
dwarf son, don't go in a hole without a plan.
Exactly.
So Buren is laying out his rationale to Bingo,
mm-hmm.
and you hear, Mother!
Nice.
As you hear this, as you guys have been kind of not necessarily arguing but debating amongst yourselves, you've lost track of Belgo, and you manage to see all that's left of him are his feet stuck straight in the air as he does basically a heads first dive, it appears, into the hole. Mother!
Scratch on human.
Goddamn hole.
And you hear this echo. And a little bit of a thud. And Baldur stands up. Belgo! Belgo! And he runs over to the hole. He begins to run over the hole. And he gets within about 10 feet. And this green, ropey vine darts out. Shoots out from the hole. In fact, two of them dart out and grab Belgo. And I'm sorry, Baldur. Dumb.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
And they ensnare him.
What's happening? What's happening? Why does it help me? Help me!
Nope. Guess we should move on. We'll have to sell his stuff ourselves.
All right, we got their stuff, so.
And you see these ropey, viney things shooting out of the hole with, you know, like octopus arms. Don't look at the head on the thing. Just think of the arms.
Father! Father!
What would you guys like to do?
We would like to get rid of these things.
Yeah, you've kind of broken out of the
like, oh, clearly not gold in the hole, but buttons.
Oh, yeah. It's green.
Good, it's good. God, why are we standing around this hole?
All right. Let's see. Yeah, I can do this. All right. So hopefully. I mean, should you guys want to fight? We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, we can't just let him get eaten.
No, we can.
Can we?
We can, but we're not going to.
Yeah, no, we would try and rescue them.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully,
yeah, unless they were, that would be much more of a clue.
They both were. All right. So why don't you guys, if you're going to engage this viney creature, why don't you? I've kind of put on the map somewhere the different stances. So if Bird was going to be forward, even without her armor, which sounds kind of crazy, you'd be up here. Chlamydius with your bow, you know, wherever you guys are going to go.
I think a bow in this instance is not going to be helpful. So Chlamydius is going to be forward with his sword this time. Ooh,
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Once Buren sees Chlamydius going forward, he's got no choice but to go forward as well.
Okay.
Unslings his mattock.
All right. Okay, so once you're lined up, we're going to see a kind of bonus success dice.
Very aggressive group.
I like it. Everybody give me an awareness test against 14.
Awareness.
So awareness, you can choose battle or hunting. Awareness isn't a skill. It's a type of role, but we're going to see.
Awareness is a skill, Ty.
Oh, is it?
I see awareness.
I take that back. Thank you. You can choose awareness, battle, or hunting. As your kind of preliminary positioning.
14?
Yes, please. Okay. Yep.
Ha.
It's coming.
Okay, so I would really like to pass this. So now, does anyone mind if I spend out of the fellowship pool?
Go ahead.
Don't we have a die that he can use? Don't we have some golden die?
You do, right? One left. Yeah,
you don't have them for this yet. This is you're going to get golden dice for these rolls.
This roll is a golden die roll.
Okay.
The dice that you have, Chlamydius, that's for the journey part of stuff.
So, all right.
Yeah, no worries. So, do you guys mind if I spend a fellowship?
Okay. Well, you can do that retroactively.
No, this no, is not, a bonus die.
Yeah, this has got a specific name. It's called the Amazing Roll.
The Amazing.
It's like a preliminary roll or something.
Hearing no strong objections, I spent one out of the fellowship pool.
Okay. Yeah, you're rolling for combat advantage. All right. So I had that as that was the third fellowship point you guys have spent?
Yes. Right? Okay. That's correct.
All right. So, Buren, you passed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Chlamydius, yep. You passed. Just straight up passed, okay?
Yep.
Larry, how'd you do?
Larry did well.
Gandalf. Yep.
Gandalf did.
Larry got one. Yeah, okay. Bingo, how'd you do? He did not pass. And Bird.
Pass with a Tengwar.
Okay. So you get dose. All right. So again, with these bonus success dice, you can, if you say, hey, I'm going to use success dice before your roll, then you can, rather than rolling two dice, you roll three dice and spend one of them, or you can give them to somebody else. Otherwise, you're good to go. Okay, Let's see. I need everybody to, let's see if you guys are surprised or ambushed or anything amazing. Battle, hunting, or stealth?
Battle, hunting, or stealth?
Stealth. Is stealth a...
I'll take stealth.
It is...
Ah! Take that, you swine.
Ooh, baby.
Hmm.
Oh, our pants are on for this fight.
You guys are killing it. Okay. All right, so you are... You are not surprised. You are, you've got the advantage, initiative, and so you guys get to go first. So yeah, you've got Belgor's just disappeared down the hole. Baldur is tangled up in some vines, and we've got Chlamydius and Banehammer up in the forward stance. Don't have any wits markers set up, but. Chlamydius and Buren, what are your wits?
Mine's 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is 6. Unless it's a favored skill, in which case it would be 8.
Yeah, my favorite is 10.
Okay, yeah, just your straight up wits. Okay. All right, Chlamydius, you're up first. What would you like to do?
Hack.
Okay, what do you got?
I got a sword, so.
All right, so if you remember, you can click on your icon.
Your token. Yep. Sword.
Sword. Yep. And then click on. Can you click on the big creature there?
Yep.
All right. And your forward target number is 6.
Boom.
Let's see. 10. Target number net 10. Nicely done. And you got a 10 Gwar. Okay. So you get your damage bonus to go along with that. So sword damage 5 and yep. Damage bonus of 10 or a 5 takes you to 10. Let's see here. What has he got? He's got some nasty stuff. Okay. All right, nice job.
Roar! All right, I'm going to get another beer while we're waiting for my next round.
All right, Buren?
I'm probably going to attack. I just want to see. I'm not sure if this is the type of thing that I need to try to awe. Like, I'm not sure that. It may be just like so different and monstrous that fine, it's not really going to work. So I'm just going to do an attack with my Matic. So here it comes. Oops, got to choose a target. Target number from stance would be a 6, correct?
Mm-hmm. Nine, not quite. You could hope it.
What do I need to get it to?
10.
Do it. You got should. Bonus. Yeah, you got bonus.
Yeah, because you'll get bonus damage. You should probably do it.
Yeah. All right. It's getting dicey with the hope thing.
Well, she's a fellowship.
Yeah, you can use fellowship.
Okay.
That's warranted long. Here, again, because you're going to bonus damage. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so I'll fellowship to pass.
All right, so you got your, yeah, and you got a bonus on that, 10 mm-hmm. Guar, so what do we got, teen, net 14?
Are we back to me? No?
Yes. Not quite.
All right. Yep, 14.
Roar! All right, open stancers. Who's got a high wits?
Birds at 7.
Yeah, not Larry.
Yeah, I think Bingo and I are usually standing next to each other, so I don't remember. I think maybe we alternated.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9. And I'm going to use a bonus die on this roll after I do this.
Mm-hmm.
hit.
15. Versus a 13, that'll do it. Nice. All right. Bingo. Oh, you're going to rally your comrades? Let's see. So with your skill of inspire or song, does something amazing. I like it. I like it.
Endurance rally. Points.
Endurance. Yeah, what does it do? Let's see. 179.
Larry's endurance is maxed at the moment, so my hope is kind of low, but my hope's down to 8. But although I think I don't have a lot of shadow, I think Buren has a lot of shadow, so his hope situation's a little dicier than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the combat just started, so probably not quite yet. No, you're in open stance, so it's against 9. Yep. A little bit different for combat. Jeez, you guys are killing it. The Tengar. Goodness gracious. What was your weapon? Kingblade. Damage 5, bonus of 2, so 7. What does the Kingblade greater experience? You could spend a point of hope and automatically inflict a piercing blow. All right. What is your edge value, your injury value for that thing? It is 14. Okay. Yeah, you get a very strong. Tell me about your King's Blade attack on these woodsy, viney things that are slapping out at you. A piercing blow. Yeah, and he protected. He passed his protection. So basically, if in your attack you achieve a piercing blow, which can happen by just rolling, but you spend a point of hope to do it automatically, then he does a protection roll, and if he passes, then he doesn't take a wound. So he passed. So.
He is weary. I don't know if that changes the result, but he's going to be weary from Fesco.
I don't know if it is. Yeah, I tell you what, he's got a special great size skill.
Okay.
So tell me about Fesco, because that maybe it does. Although he did roll all fives and fours. So.
I guess fives counts. So Yeah, just says if I'm in close combat fighting along Fesco, then... The enemy is always considered weary.
Always considered weary. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, that's.
It's like you got him flanked.
Yeah. Oops! My screen just fell on my. Do you guys hear me?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Screen just fell on my microphone. I'm sorry, Bingo. I took the spotlight away from you. What? Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Who's that leave? That leaves Larry.
Yep. Head He's going to slash with his spear at the vines around Baldur.
Okay.
And I'm going to use my success dice on this roll. Mm-hmm. So I'm beating a 9, right?
Your target, yeah. Target number's a 9. Ooh. Oh, my Lord.
And I still have to do the success die.
Overkill.
Worth it.
All right. So, Larry, your badass spear.
Oh, it didn't give me the... that's weird, because I rolled the spear die. It didn't give me the little damage table.
Oh, you got to use the macro in the... along the top.
Oh, well, you want me to click it and just see what the damage pops up?
I think we got it. So okay. Your damage is 5. Your additional damage is 5. And then you could actually did it twice. So 15 damage.
Sweet.
That was quick.
All right. Well, for some creatures. But this thing is still fighting, because he has a special ability known as Great Size. So he's actually still fighting. And he spends a point of hate, and he attacks everybody in a forward or open.
In that would a, be everybody.
In a, yeah. What is it? Where the tentacles? Crushing many tentacles. Close combat, yeah. Forward and open. All right. Mm-hmm. Chlamydius. Oh, yep. Good thing this thing is weary. Oh, he's struggling. He's struggling. Oh, Lord, it's getting tough. He can't quite... Oh! See, Buren. Let's see. Yep, he takes. You take 5 points of damage, Buren.
Where do I actually track damage?
So yeah, you can click on your token and change the green circle. You know, take 30 down to 25. Type it in and
okay. That is the easiest way to do that. 25. Ouch.
There you go. Larry. Let's see what happened to a tentacle lash. There you go. All right, you guys are a little further back, a little bit more difficult. 19 with a Tengwar. Oh my goodness.
Ouch.
You take 9 endurance. 5 and 4.
Damn.
And Larry, the tentacles have they're basically vines with these long spiky thorns on them, and they tear across your face, mussing up your beautiful mustache.
Ugh.
Too hipster you.
Bingo! Oh my goodness, bingo! 5 points of damage. And Bird. ISR on passes automatically for the enemy.
Not only does it pass automatically, although I'll my parry rating goes up. I don't know if that affects this because we're in the woods.
It could. What's your by 2?
It goes up to 10 in the woods, but regardless, and I have Sauron hits, and then this is awful because you hit Fesco.
Hey, what happens to Fesco?
The blow hits and automatically wounds the hound instead.
Mm-hmm.
You may prevent this by taking the automatic wound yourself. I cannot roll for protection. A wounded hound is put out of combat for the remainder of the scene and will return at your side at the start of the next session. Only if you succeed in a healing roll with a target number of 16.
Oh, okay. So we were talking about wounds, right?
Yeah.
Not just regular damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make a protection test, right? So he rolled an ISR.
No, I don't roll protection, right? I cannot roll for protection.
Why not?
So it's either the blow hits and automatically wounds Fesco, or I can take it, but I cannot roll for protection if I take the wound. So either Fesco or I get wounded.
See, the way I'm thinking about it, and yeah, it sounds like you're right, but like there's not a wound to distribute yet. There's a piercing blow.
Yeah, this kicks it up to a wound because you rolled an ISR on. Yeah, yeah.
The blow hits automatically and wounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Man, that's kind of fucked up, Ty. They would do that to a poor dog like that.
The vines tighten around Fesco's torso and
stop.
Lift him up the ground and shake him a little bit and roll him, throw him across the Mirkwood path.
Fesco! My healing's pretty good, so I'll let it land on Fesco.
Okay. Got it. And do you still take the 5 damage of endurance?
I don't believe so. The blow hits and automatically wounds the hound instead.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. And so it was, who was trying to free Baldur? Was that Larry earlier?
Yeah.
I think I forgot about that. See, you actually seem to do that, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, because I hit pretty hard, so yeah, hopefully that would have... I got a couple of ting wires in there, so...
How do you free...
I would just say that Larry, like, with a couple of efficient slashes with his spear, just severs the tentacles that have... the vines that have grasped Baldur and frees him so he can scramble away.
Got it. Okay, yeah. And he kind of rolls across the ground and makes his way to safety. Okay, up front, Chlamydius.
Back in the saddle again. Okay. Bring that sword. Six is my target number?
Correct.
Take that.
Three. Yep, nicely done. So here's what's going on mechanically. He is down to 0 endurance, but he's got this great size special skill. So you're basically trying to get him to be wounded. He needs to take 2 wounds or 1 wound and 0 endurance. So additional endurance isn't really going to do too much to him.
Okay.
So, and so how do we get a wound?
Good question. So each weapon has what's called an edge rating.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the chat window right now, you'll see that John's sword has an edge of 10.
Yep.
So he needs to roll a 10.
Which I did.
Or the Gandalf symbol with the feet die. So you're comparing the feet die to whatever that edge number
is. Got it.
And that means you've got a piercing blow.
Okay.
So then the target does what's called a protection roll, which has got some math to it, and if it fails that protection roll, then it's wounded, which in this case it would be dead.
Okay.
So you really want a good roll on your feet die.
So I got a 10.
Well, you got a 10 in total, but your feet die, which is the 12-sided die, is a 3. All right.
So, okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Thank you.
So you're hacking away at him, and his, I don't know, pieces of vines are flying around, but nothing's happened.
I'm taking out some leaves.
So really, at this point, all we're caring about are our feet dies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just finish him, Buren.
This could be hard.
Yeah. I'm going to try. We'll see what happens. Here is an attack with my medic. Oops. And he is 6 again. Oh,
nailed it.
There you go, baby.
All right.
That is exactly what we needed.
Yeah. So you that 10, you got that, you see the 10 for your feet die.
Mm-hmm.
So you, that matches or exceeds the edge value. So now I got to roll against an 18, the injury value. Is my target for protection. And this could be bad for him.
No Ooh. Longer he's no longer weary.
He is weary because he's down to zero endurance. That's another part of his little ability. So the first thing that happens, he goes to, you know, normally you go to zero endurance and the creature would be basically out of commission. He goes weary and you have wounded Buren. You've wounded this great thing in the well.
Hell yeah.
Tell me about his final last gasps or whatever viney creatures do.
So he was engaged with Chlamydius trying to fend off his attack, and I saw an opportunity. I actually leapt down into the well hole, and I just swung up through the underneath midsection, and mm-hmm. you actually see my matic kind of erupt out of his head, and then he just kind of collapses around my matic mm-hmm. and around me down into mm-hmm. the hole. I'm probably covered with all kinds of icky green goop at this point in time.
mm-hmm. Worth it.
But it's totally worth it. This is why I left working in the relative safety of the Lonely Mountain to come out do these kinds of things.
Well done. Well done. And the vines splinter and fly and parts of them, and then whatever's left, the main body of whatever this thing was, recedes dead back into the hole. And you hear, "Oh, Father, Father, help me, Father." Coming from the hole.
I jumped down in the hole, so. All right. That was my narrative thing. So I'm down in the hole. So hopefully that a good narrative decision on my part. So.
Yeah. And you reach a ledge and young Belgo is sprawled out on this ledge and his clothes are torn and his face is scratched and bleeding in places. But he otherwise, Buren, thank you. Thank you. And he kind of wraps his young arms around your neck. Thank you.
And steady.
And as you're looking over his shoulder, you catch the glint, and something you certainly recognize, the glint of gold from the bottom of this. It's basically a well. It's a well. Yeah, yeah. Bingo. Your instincts were correct. So let's take a look. Yes, there is a. And it appears to be quite a healthy amount of gold. And the rest of the party, the company, is up above.
So I'm trying to decide if I tell the rest of the party about what I see or not.
It's not very lawful of you.
Do we even have that stuff in this game?
Okay, you were the one talking about morality before.
That's different than lawfulness. So. you can take entire graduate level seminars on the difference between law and morality. So,
all right. So doing bad things and murdering people and doing unheroic things can often result in corruption problems.
But what if I'm saving the rest of the party from the temptations of gold? That would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
I mean, it could be. I would be interested to hear how you're going to get piles of gold from the well without the party noticing. But you know, well, Buren, what would you like
just
to do?
This swallow it.
I would like to tell my party mates that in fact there does appear to be gold down here, and if we can. Range for a rope, and if they're strong enough to lower me down, I'll be happy to go down and collect it and have them haul me back up. But we should probably get this young man up out of the well first.
That seems reasonable.
I think we've all got 50 feet of rope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there are some interesting rules here. So let's start off with this. You guys have found a magical treasure hoard in game terms. And each one of you have the option to explore the treasure hoard. What is it called? What are you looking for? To see if there are any magical objects. You have a choice. And basically, if you decide to pursue that route, you're going to roll a feat die. And you most want a Gandalf rune. An Eye of Sauron has some potential, but there's some complications. So it's a risk-reward thing. So, but let's start off with this. There is a treasure hoard worth 40 treasure points.
Okay.
Right? So split that five ways. It's worth 8 treasure each.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Should you discover something magical or interesting and valuable, you would forego those 8 treasure points for whatever we come up with that you discover. So it's kind of weird in that what may or may not be there depends on how you roll. I can't. It's not like D&D
so where we're choosing behind what's behind door number 3. As opposed to taking the cash prize up front.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, and if you fail, if you're interested in searching and you fail, you don't get a Gandalf or an Eye of Sauron. You still get the 8.
Okay, so we're not forfeiting something by looking for more.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so if you're digging for treasure, go ahead and roll a feat die. And there is a feat die button at the bottom.
Is this individually or does one person
individually
do it?
This is all whatever you find, whatever you don't find is all unique to the character.
So what skill name do we put in for the feat die macro? Ask for a skill name input value.
Bird put loot. that's fine.
It just says
I am feet not die. Seeing the feat die macro
down at the bottom low Kyle.
At the bottom under the player avatars.
Yeah, it's just below the right by the success check, correct?
So I wonder because I just have it down to nameplates, so I wonder if that's preventing me from seeing that. So should be changed.
Yeah.
So it's not a two
under the three the collections deal, Rex, make sure you have show macro quick bar checked.
Yeah.
My settings.
Not the setting, the collection.
Got it.
So it's just straight feet, not 2 feet or 2 feet low, correct?
Correct, just straight feet. Unless you've got some funky power I don't know about.
Oh, I have to click my toe.
All right.
You have to click yourself to do it, though.
Yeah.
So none of mine were checked. That's why I couldn't see them.
So what skill do we use to it?
It doesn't matter. Type in loot. Treasure.
Zero. You're just rolling a single feat die.
Someone hit the jackpot.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to see some cool magical shit. Oh, that was close.
Tease me with that underline. 1, 2, 3, 4. Scratched off your lottery tickets and everybody came up empty. All right, 8 treasure for everybody.
Treasure. Dollar sign, and a cherry.
All right.
And then one more pause real quick. I'm going to roll on healing for Fesco.
Okay.
So we get 8 treasure for that, correct?
I'm going to spend my ticket back. Womp womp. Come here, buddy.
Yeah, and if you guys have the books or the PDFs or whatever, and you want to check out the treasure stuff, it's all in the Rivendell book.
Okay.
You'll see how it works, and you won't see everything that that I'm doing behind the scenes, but you'll see just the mechanics, which is, it's actually kind of interesting how they do it. All right. So, yeah, you guys rest up. You, you know, anybody who isn't wounded, which I think is everybody, and rest for 30 minutes, gets their endurance back in terms of, I think it's a body amount, whatever your body is. But we're not going to worry too much about that, because not too far down the road, down the path, sloping away from you, you see the entrance, the other end of the amazing elf path. And you see the forest gate. That's what it's called, the forest gate.
Woohoo!
Up ahead. Let's see. It's a few days. Let's see. From the well, a few short days travel to the edge of the woods. The company emerges into blazing sunlight in late November and a refreshing breeze. And Baldur and is awfully thankful. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You've been so helpful. I'm going to continue on to the south to trade with the woodsmen in the Bjornings. Fortunately, these lands are protected by Bjorn's folk. So there is little danger of bandits. You're welcome to journey with me, but our deal is complete. And as promised, I am paying you... I thought I said 3.
Yeah, I terms have changed. Now it's 5.
3 each.
3 each.
3 each. And of course, I'll allow you to keep the treasure that you found, because you... Saved my son, Belgo. I just want to be the best father.
Thank you for allowing us to keep the treasure. Yes,
I want to be the best father that I can with you. Please, I'll teach you the ways of my trade and watch you become the man that I know you can become. So he gives you guys 3 treasure each. You have passed through Mirkwood and lived to tell the tale. Wilderland lies before you.
The road goes ever on and on.
All right. Nicely done. That concludes that scenario. And we are approaching the next fellowship phase. We'll do the fellowship phase in the next session.
Okay.
And it is a special fellowship phase known as the
special fellowship
end of year. End of years. What is it called? It is called.
We'll be end of year, right? Because we're
passing of years.
Because we're through November.
Yeah.
Into December.
So still not every time, but a lot of times when we get through the end of the year, we'll do an undertaking like you guys did last time. You know. Bingo tried to do a song, Chlamydius did research, but you'll get to do 2 of those rather than 1.
Cool.
So think about, so a couple things. I'll probably play this out over Rocket, but you need to decide, are you going to return home or are you going to go to a sanctuary? And now that you are in the land of Bjorn and, should we do this first? I don't know if I can do this first. Let me think about this. I'm going to ask you what you guys want to do. Are you going to break? Is the fellowship going to break up? Or are you going to stay together? Are you going to go to one place? Or are you going to split off and go home?
It might depend on where we go, I think. Because it wouldn't be Lake Town this time, right? It'd be someplace else. If we stayed together.
Yeah, it could be.
Bird would offer up Woodland Hall.
What'd you say, Matt?
Oh, no, go ahead, Carl.
Could we make another sanctuary?
Yeah, let me...
Oh, you mean so we would have to go back to Lake Town as the sanctuary?
I did something interesting. Incorrect sequentially. Let me see.
Because at this point, I think like Larry is almost halfway home. He's almost halfway to Bree at this point. So,
can we go to the Bjornlings and kind of hang out there?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on if that would be a sanctuary or not for the for the party.
So let me do it this way. Bird.
Yep.
Your sense is that the strong historical and heirloomic nature of the Wolfbiter head would be very interesting to the Council of Elders.
Oh yeah, Bird was definitely thinking along those lines.
Yeah, and should you return to either Woodland Hall,
it's a standing bonus right there,
or the Woodman Town, which is two places actually. You wouldn't be surprised if you were to be turn those into sanctuary. So I guess what I'm getting at is, Carl brings up a good point. If you're going to go somewhere as a group, it's got to be a sanctuary, technically. So we'll count the Woodman Town, Woodland Hall, and Esgaroth Lake Town as sanctuaries now.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So it looks like Woodland Hall's closer, though, or at least safer to get to. Is that correct?
Yeah, so as far as safety goes, this land is very well protected by Bjorn. And so, you know, as long as you stay along the Anduin, kind of on the west side, excuse me, east side of the river, you wouldn't expect too much problem.
I vote we go to Woodland Hall and sanctuary there.
Yeah, we meet Bird's Bird's kin. Larry would certainly be fascinated.
We've got a reason to go there with the axe, so that makes sense to me.
As long
Bjorn
as
doesn't want to go back to boring old Lake Town right now. He's not here to see the world, so he's happy to go.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
My only suggestion is we wait a few days and put some space between us
and the idiots.
Yes. No, we're not going south. We'll catch you next time.
Yeah. We got some things to take care of here.
Right.
Yep.
Where are you guys going? What you doing? Where are you going, huh? Where
are you going? We're going to a place called Mordor. Want to come?
Sounds fantastic.
I hear you can just walk right in.
Oh, Father, I'm still so tired. Can we just stay at the Easterly Inn? Well, I imagine, son, because of the money I expect we'll make on this this haul. Sure, let's take a break. And they kind of make their way in a direction a little bit further to the south. To they tell you about the Easterly Inn, which is a new inn along the river. And you leave them behind as you make your way south.
Well, I'm keeping on.
All right.
Nice.
So let's wrap up. I think I did award you guys experience points. Everybody take 3 experience points.
Okay.
And
that
remember,
is the big number.
We do correct. Both, increase both by 3, right?
Yeah. The big 3. One is a current bank and the little one is running, so you want to add 3 to both of them so you're keeping track.
Sure.
Yep. And then everybody, I think everybody's hope focus is okay, so you can get a point of hope bet.
Do we get our fatigue is back away?
Yeah. Yeah, consider yourselves rested.
Travel fatigue reduces and endurance goes back up, or?
Yeah. I mean, so basically, let me think, how does this work? You are, if you're going to sanctuary together, if you're going to sanctuary together in the Woodland Hall, you know, by the time you get there and rest and are welcomed as a guest of Bird and whatever remains of Fesco. What did you do with Fesco? You tried to heal
Fesco? I did heal him, and I spent a hope point, by the way.
Okay.
I just kind of did it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're obviously not going to let Fesco fail the heal roll. He's dead.
Well, to be honest, he comes back at the fellowship phase, so I could have banked that.
Anyway, okay.
Right.
And so, let's say the
temporary shadow.
Who the what?
What about the temporary shadow I have acquired?
It's temporary, but it remains for you for now. But one of the fellowship phase undertakings is there are ways to reduce that.
Okay.
But that's part of the fellowship phase. All right. So what did I say? We got hope. We got experience. I think I heard you guys are going to go to the Woodland Hall.
How much hope will you get back? Sorry.
Because your fellowship focus.
Yep.
Everybody was okay. Nobody died or crazy or anything. You get a point of hope back.
Thank you.
Yep. Provided you're not maxed out already.
No, I'm not.
All right. Okay. I'll good stuff, guys. I'll get a thing out, a doodle out, and we'll look for because we don't have another session scheduled, right?
Correct.
All right. Cool. All right. Who knows? Maybe you'll come across Belgo and Baldur down the road.
I sure hope not. When I listened back to the episode I missed and like Belgo comes running down, it was really funny. It's like, help me, my father or whatever. And everyone's like, no.
We did the same thing this episode. It's like, no, should we just keep going while these guys are grabbed by these vines? All right, well, see you guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Middle Earth. You guys are supposed to be good guys. You know, it is difficult. I know we're used to, you know, no murder hobos. I mean, you could. I mean, I'll dish out the shadow coins. We'll see what happens. But you don't want to railroad
Lord of the Rings from the point of view of orcs. We can be a party of orcs. Where's that RPG system?
Huh, that would be actually pretty cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Good stuff. Thanks a lot. See you at Rocket, and I'll get that doodle out.
Cool.
Perfect.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.
All right. Night, gentlemen.